Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus program. The date is July 31st. The time is 9:48 a.m. I've got a real treat for you this morning. Trevor Hammack helped me convert a video from CNN to an audio file. The young man speaking in the audio file is Don Lemon. He is a African-American anchor. Or a host, I guess, is the more appropriate term for CNN. He also has a radio talk show. And recently, he gave five no talking points to the African-American community. So we have an African-American speaking to the African-American community in response to the Zimmerman trial, the verdict. And I think that you're going to enjoy the frankness and the candor and the method by which this young man addresses the audience and deals with the issues. He's going to show us some video clips from the competitor Fox News Network and a couple commentators, and then a voice that you'll probably recognize, Bill O'Reilly's. And O'Reilly has been taking an incredible amount of heat from what he's calling racial charlatans. These are people who make lots of money keeping the racial divide well and good in America. And some of you in the listening audience of Sermon Audio have commented and emailed about why are we talking about statistics and why don't we just preach the gospel? Well, the reality is on several ideas. One, we're supposed to know what's going on. We're not supposed to be ignorant. We're not supposed to be clueless. We're not supposed to be afraid of confronting evil, and that's what we are doing here. False narratives and perceptions that are incorrect and are built on falsehoods need to be dealt with. And a failure to identify the statistical evidence of the problems in the African-American community is really a lack of love. And I know that there are some that would think, no, a more loving perspective would be to bury the statistics. Well, if the numbers are right, and since we've heard them from so many different venues, and since no one seems to be refuting the numbers, if the numbers of black boys and girls born out of wedlock is in fact 73%, then those who love children like God loves children, like Christ loves children, those who love African American babies, boys and girls, like God loves and like Christ loved the little babies, will bring to the nation's attention this problem. Because boys and girls that grow up in homes with a mom and dad do so much better. Their lives are so much better. They are more likely to graduate from high school. They are more likely to be employed. They are less likely to be incarcerated. They are less likely to become alcoholics. They are less likely to become pregnant teenage moms. They are less likely to have abortions. They are less likely to need help from psychiatrists and psychologists. They are less likely to live in poverty. They are more likely to go on to college. And so if we care about not only their souls, but the physical lives that they must endure on this planet, if we care about whether they have a home that is safe to grow up in, then we will bring to the nation's attention the statistical data that validates what we know to be true, so that those individuals who call themselves leaders of all facets of life can speak to these problems in a significant way and address not only the spiritual needs of the young man or woman, but the physical needs as well. And to those of you that are not yet fully convinced, may I bring to you the Word of God, James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Now, I recognize that within the context of the text, James is clearly talking about saving faith versus dead faith. But the point that he's making is that there is a need for food and shelter, and that we are hypocrites if we speak only to the spiritual needs without contending for the physical needs as well. And I would submit to you that the greatest physical need a African American boy or girl needs is a father that will raise him or her. Those are my thoughts. Now, listen to Don Lemon's thoughts. And then at the end of this, post your comment. Think about what you want to say to add to the dialogue, and post your comment to this podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
The Trayvon Martin murder case got just about everybody talking about race, and not just specifically how it related to the case. It got some, many on the political right, wondering why the so-called liberal media wasn't talking about other problems in the black community.
Let's talk about race. Let's talk about black-on-black violence.
The outrage that I have is in the lack of really the national attention to what is an epidemic of crime in the black community committed largely by blacks.
Why aren't we talking about it? Good question. Actually, that's not a good question. We've talked about it many times on this show and on CNN. It's actually a good deflection, as I've said a number of times to a number of guests here on CNN and also on the radio.
David, do not do that false equivalent. That is
not a
fair
comparison. No, I'm not trying to equivocate, but outrage.
Yeah, but,
no,
but listen,
I'm not comparing
crime
that.
Happens all the time, and because a crime happens, it does not mean that you should shift the focus from what happened here. Let's stick to this particular point.
Okay,
so
on this issue, then.
Thank you.
So that's the reason I didn't want to discuss at length crime in the African-American community or how to fix other ills that seem to be plaguing the community in general. But now that the jury has reached its verdict, one that everyone must accept, it's time now for some tough love on the subject. Someone on another network got the chance to go first because I couldn't go during the week. I'm only here on the weekend, so listen to this.
The reason there is so much violence and chaos in the black precincts is the disintegration of the African-American family.
He's got a point. In fact, he's got more than a point. Bill?
Raised without much structure, young black men often reject education and gravitate towards the street culture, drugs, hustling, gangs. Nobody forces them to do that. Again, it is a personal decision.
He is right about that, too. But in my estimation, he doesn't go far enough. Because black people, if you really want to fix the problem, here's just five things that you should think about doing. Here's number five. And if this doesn't apply to you, if you're not doing this, then it doesn't apply to you. I'm not talking about you. Here's number five. Pull up your pants. Some people, a lot of them black, gave me flack for saying that recently on the Wendy Williams show.
If you're sagging, it means I think it's your self-esteem is sagging and who you are as a person, it's sagging. Young people need to be taught respect, and there are rules.
Sagging pants, whether it's Justin Bieber or no-name Derek around the way, walking around with your ass and your underwear showing is not okay. In fact, it comes from prison when they take away belts from the prisoner so that they can't make a weapon. And then it evolved into which role a prisoner would have during male-on-male prison sex. The one with the really low pants is a submissive one. You get my point? Number four now is the N-word.
For our generation, what we did was we took the word and we took the power out of that word.
We took this word and we made it into poetry.
I understand poetic license, but consider this. I hosted a special on the N-word, suggesting that black people stop using it, and that entertainers stop deluding yourselves or themselves and others that you're somehow taking the word back. By promoting the use of that word when it's not germane to the conversation, have you ever considered that you may just be perpetuating the stereotype the master intended, acting like a nigger? A lot of African Americans took offense to that too, and I wondered if I gave the right advice. I really did. But confirmation came the very next day on my way home when I exited the subway on 125th Street in Harlem. This little kid in a school uniform, no older than 7 years old, he was crying his eyes out as he walked down the sidewalk with his mother. I'm going to be honest here. She turned to him and she said, "I'm sick of you. You act like an old ass man. Stop all that crying, nigger." Is that taking the word back? Think about that. Now, number three, respect where you live. Start small by not dropping trash, littering in your own communities. I've lived in several predominantly white neighborhoods in my life. I rarely, if ever, witness people littering. I live in Harlem now. It's an historically black neighborhood. Every single day I see adults and children dropping their trash on the ground when a garbage can is just feet away. Just being honest here. Number two, finish school. You want to break the cycle of poverty? Stop telling kids they're acting white because they go to school or they speak proper English. A high school dropout makes on average $19,000 a year. A high school graduate makes $28,000 a year. A college graduate makes $51,000 a year. Over the course of a career, a college grad will make nearly $1 million more than a high school graduate. That's a lot of money. And number one, and probably the most important, just because you can have a baby, it doesn't mean you should, especially without planning for one or getting married first. More than 72% of children in the African American community are born out of wedlock. That means absent fathers. And the studies show that lack of a male role model is an express train right to prison. And the cycle continues. So please, black folks, as I said, if this doesn't apply to you, I'm not talking to you. Pay attention to and think about what has been presented in recent history as acceptable behavior. Pay close attention to the hip-hop and rap culture that many of you embrace, a culture that glorifies everything I just mentioned, thug and reprehensible behavior, a culture that is making a lot of people rich, just not you, and it's not going to. That said, though, the political right is not off the hook.
If conservatives are so concerned about black-on-black crime, it's a little concerning. The only time I hear them talking about it is when they want to stick it to the black community.
And that's today's No Talk.